Welcome again to Ivy. Ivy College, that is, in the town of Ivy, USA. As you enter the gate of Ivy College, you enter a world that is dedicated to the principle, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's been a quiet evening at number one faculty row, home of Dr. William Todhunter Hall and his wife, Victoria. No unexpected visitors, no after-hours business meetings, in fact, no Dr. Hall. He spent the evening out at the Intercollegiate Fights, and his wife, Victoria, is waiting for him to return.
Do you need the Ace of Diamonds, Miss Hall? I found it in the vacuum cleaner.
Thanks, Alice. Here's the book you wanted.
Oh.
Wash your hair?
Mm-hmm.
Looks lovely.
Oh, thanks.
Oh. Trapped.
Well, shades of kismet.
Excuse me.
Hello, Alice. How are things in old Baghdad?
Just washed my hair. Miss Hall gave me a book to dry it with.
Lady Windermere's fan, no doubt. Vicky, I brought a friend.
Hi, Mrs. Hall.
Oh, Professor Warren, how nice. What were you talking about out there?
Oh, we just caught Alice with her hair.
Oh.
Sit down, Joe.
Well, if I do, I'll stay a while, so I will.
Of course you will. Where did you find this nice present for me, William?
Well, you see, it's such a long time since I've been to the fights that I suppose I got a little overexcited. Because when I heard someone behind me yelling, "Sit down, you," I turned around to say, "Says who?" And who turned out to be Professor Warren.
Oh. Yeah, I'm afraid I'm not very good at identifying backs. Not even my own. Come to think of it, I don't think I've ever seen my own. Not that I've tried. I've got a short neck.
Oh, you sound as though you've had a very gay evening. Listen, I'm sure Alice has left some snacks in the refrigerator. Why don't I...
Oh, no, Mrs. Hall, not for me, please. No. I couldn't look a potato chip in the face.
Oh, no, darling, we're surfeited on hot dogs, peanuts, and popcorn.
What, do you mean to say you've been eating ever since you finished dinner?
Well, you know, my dear, with vouching, one develops a tremendous appetite.
Oh, and which bout were you in? The preliminaries, or did you make a special fit?
I was scheduled for the main event, but the last hot dog did it. I couldn't make the weight.
Oh, and by the way, who
was? Yes, a spectator leads a dangerous life.
Oh, yes.
By the good old Roman days, more people flopped over in the stands dead from overeating than were mauled in the arena by the lions.
Yeah. Who won?
Oh, yes, indeed. The fighter may have more bruises to show for his efforts to think of the poor spectator, what he suffers in his imagination.
Well, I don't know. When I was a slender reed of a schoolboy, I played soccer. And one good kick in the shins was worse than two in the imagination.
All right. Come on. Who won?
I never knew. I was carried off the field on a stretcher, unconscious. A condition which is becoming increasingly chronic.
I didn't mean your soccer game.
You know, the funny thing, Joe, I had a similar experience in my hockey days. I was a goalie.
When I started asking this question, I was a girlie.
I suppose the best game I ever played was against Bradford. It was only a hearsay triumph because I was hit over the head with a hockey stick in the first quarter and played the rest of the game in a state of catalepsy. It's an interesting example as to how one can sometimes do better when one doesn't know what one's doing, you know?
I've given up trying. Now, come on, the fight can't have been that dull.
What fight, dear?
Well, I was under the wild impression that you two had spent the evening at the gymnasium watching the Ivy and Bradford boxing team fight it out.
Oh, those fights.
Well, certainly those fights. Didn't anybody win?
Yes, we lost.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Oh, not really, Vicky. It was a moral victory, which is sometimes as satisfactory as a booby prize. But in this case, the splendid showing of Terry Ryan made up for the fact that we lost 4-3.
Terry Ryan. And there's a boy that's got brain in his brawn.
He's going to make a first-rate doctor.
And a good student, too. I have him in history. And whenever that overwhelming wave of loneliness washes over me in a class of 75 noisily indifferent students, I look around for Ryan.
I know, Joe. One interested pupil in the class is like a beacon to guide the foundering teacher out of the fog and into the snug comfort of the harbor.
Snug. Thanks, Doc. time, this bug went home to his rug.
Now, Professor, you won't adjust that down.
Well, I'm on my feet now, Mrs. Hall, so if you'll just turn me around and point me in the right direction, I'll be on my way.
Oh.
Mrs. Hall, your boy has an appointment at 9 tomorrow. I heard him make it. And I've got an 8 o'clock class, which I'll never make.
Well, thanks for reminding me, Joe. I'd forgotten all about Jeff Packard coming in the morning. Now, let's do this again soon. And next time, we sit together, huh?
No, because I'm going to sit in between you.
Right.
It's the deal. There's a circus coming to town next week, and the pink lemonade's on me.
Hooray!
Well, goodbye, folks.
Bye, Joe.
Bye.
Howdy, is Jeff Packard really coming to see you in the morning?
Uh-huh.
What's he doing here in Ivy?
I don't know, dear, but he came up to me just as we were leaving the gym and wanted to make an appointment. Why? Do you know Jeff Packard?
Oh, no, I don't know him personally, but after all, he's the fight manager that handled Spider Lewis. And then after he took over Chuck Chadwick, he won the title. Of course, they do say that he's pushing Ace Van Duce much too far.
My sweet, you're a constant source of amazement to me.
Well,
if anybody dropped the name of any individual who has ever appeared on stage, platform, ring, or soapbox, and immediately you have his life history at your fingertips. It's marvelous.
Oh, no, it's just show business. I still take variety, so I keep up with what's box office, and Jeff Packard is box office. I wonder what he wants to see you about.
It's a question that's not going to disturb my slumber tonight. I'll have the answer at 9 in the morning.
Well, I've got another question for you. Who's going to go back into the living room and turn the lights off?
Oh, whose turn is it?
Alice's, and she's gone to bed.
Then let them burn. Let the torch of ivy shine brightly for weary stranger and welcome friend. Come on, friend.
Right in.
Oh, thank you. And good morning. I'm Jeff Packard.
Yes, I know you have an appointment with Dr. Hall. Have you had? I've seen you on television.
Well, thank you. I didn't know anybody ever looked at me.
Oh, yes, I got a wonderful close-up of you. That time you had to pick up your boy, Ace Van Duce, when he was knocked out in the fifth.
Yeah, I must have been smiling.
Good morning, Mr. Packard.
Mrs. Hall.
Yeah, will you come right in? My husband's expecting you. Will you? Mr. Packard's here.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Packard.
Good morning, Dr. Hall.
I assume my wife already introduced herself?
Oh, she didn't have to. I recognized Victoria Cromwell right away. Remembered her from Gibbon's Tears on Broadway. I had 10 seats for every night. Miss Cromwell, Mrs. Hall, you were terrific.
Well, thank you, and thank you for contributing to the financial success of the play.
Oh, not at all. It was mostly deductible anyway, entertaining clients.
Oh, won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you. You, mind the cigar, ma'am?
The kind you probably smoke, not at all.
Made for me in Havana, $1.25 apiece.
Probably rolled by Carmen herself?
No, Escamillo made it quick before my time.
Oh, you see, William, the theater's not so far removed from the ringside.
Yes, I see. And if you don't mind shop talk, Doc, that's the subject I came to discuss with you. The ring, boxing.
As a fan, I'm flattered, but I'm not exactly an authority on the subject.
But you are the boss man at Ivy College, and I need your help.
All right, now, how can I help you?
You saw the fights last night, Doc. Not bad, either. And I didn't come all this way just to look at a bunch of amateurs. You see, I'd heard about the kid. Since I happen to be in this neck of the woods anyway, I thought I'd look him over. Dr. Hall, he is one of the greatest natural fighters I've ever seen work. And I've seen them all. Dynamite in both hands. Brains in his head. Tiger blood in his heart.
After seeing him last night, you can only be referring to Teddy Ryan.
Yeah, who else? And, Doc, you can take it from a guy who's been handling all kinds of fighters, champions and palookas for over 25 years. That Ryan is the class of them all. I can build him up. Give him the experience he needs. Teach him all the tricks in the books.
Tricks?
I mean the legitimate tricks that a professional has to know. Ring psychology, diet, timing. My fighters get their decisions in the ring, not in my office or the back room of a nightclub.
Oh, I'm aware of your reputation, Mr. Packard. I know it's above reproach.
Dr. Hall, I can make Terry Ryan a world champion in 2 years. Do you know what that means at the bank?
Yes. One personal appearance at Madison Square Garden equals a 6 month run at the palace. Besides, you're much more comfortably dressed, no special material, and no makeup.
No, in this case, they make you up after the performance.
After they put you back together again.
Huh? And then you have to take a nice, long, miserable vacation in Florida, weighed down with all that money you want. Oh, what a life.
Well, now, Mr. Packard, what do you want me to do about all this? I know, but I'd rather have you tell me, just for the record.
Well, on or off the record, I want you, if you can and will, to help Ryan make a decision. He thinks I'm not a disinterested party, and believe me, he's right.
You know, of course, that Terry is studying medicine.
I do.
And that he stands highest in his class.
This is all I know Terry Ryan's sleeve length, 36 inches. How many fillings he's got? One gold and two porcelain. His kindergarten teacher's police record. $10 for slapping a cop. I know everything about him, including that he can be the world's champion.
Well, that may be, Mr. Packard, but do you know what the young man himself wants?
I know what he thinks he wants. But how do you know what you want when you're his age? He's a kid. You got to tell him.
Tell him what? That under your tutelage, there's a possibility he can become a champion, or that, as his professors assure me, under their tutelage, he can become a fine surgeon.
It all boils down to the question of which gloves you recommend for him, leather or rubber.
Well, I'm a practical guy. I see it this way. With me, Terry stands a chance of making a cool $1 million in a few years. As a doctor, even a high-toned one. He couldn't do that in 20, 30 years.
Oh, I can't argue with you there.
Well, then, do I get your help, or do I have to do it without you?
What you're asking, Mr. Packard, is which one of us is going to make up the boy's mind for him? We two could sit here all day and debate Terry Ryan's future. But in the end, isn't it still in his own hands how he decides to use them?
Specifically to the college gymnasium, where a number of young men are scantily clothed and busily engaged. But only one of them interests Jeff Packer, the bike manager, who is paying an unexpected visit to the gym.
Hi, Mr. Packard. I didn't know you were still in town.
Boatman's holiday, kid. Always a pleasure watching real talent.
Thanks. Well, I better knock off for today. Quick shower and then back to the lab.
Sure, sure. I just wanted to know if you've been thinking it over.
Thinking? Sure, I've been thinking.
Well, come up with anything?
Nope. Still just in the thinking stages.
Good. I like that. Don't want to rush you, kid. As long as you keep thinking, I won't count you out.
Thanks.
And just one more thing. You know, there's millions of kids in this country that give their left arm for a right like yours. Everybody wants to be a champion. Only you got what it takes. Come on, kid.
Where did I...
Uh-oh, check rehearsal, huh? You expecting a long-distance call from one of your checkmates, guy?
No, Vicky, it's just a solo performance. And I'm already checkmate. Without a chessmate. I'd like to retrace my steps and find out where I went wrong, but I've asked Terry Ryan to come over. And I'd better rehearse what I'm going to tell him.
Well, you go right ahead, darling. I'm an enthusiastic audience and completely partial.
Now, my dear girl, how can one be partial and complete at the same time?
Well, I don't know, but if it's impossible, I'm just the girl can do it.
Well, in fact, you can tell me how to talk a young man out of acquiring a fortune and make it sound convincing.
Well, money isn't everything, you know.
The answer to that is, what ain't it?
My reflex answer to that is, it ain't hay. But let's get back to Terry Ryan.
Well, my position is very clear, Vicky. I feel he ought to go on with medicine.
Well, good. I never thought you thought anything else.
On the other hand, who am I to recommend that he hang up his shingle and sit in his office reading his National Geographics waiting for a $5 case of mumps or chickenpox?
No. I mean, yes.
After all, there's nothing degrading about a man earning money because he's gifted with fine coordination and physical stamina. And yet, it shouldn't be too disheartening that he has to spend a longer time developing his skill as a physician. But then, the rewards won by a world's champion are not to be decried. However, the honors strewn along the Hippocratic path are incalculable.
Darling, if Terry Ryan is as shifty with his hands and his feet as you are with your pros and cons, he ought to make 12 million.
Well, I sometimes wonder how far one should go in steering a young man's career in any particular direction. Especially since I just finished telling Jeff Packard that we should let the boy make up his own mind.
Well, after all, you're only advising him. You're not trying to trick him into anything.
I know, but I'd like to find some fairly decent way in which...
Excuse me, Dr. Hall. Miss Hall, we're having a roast tonight, and I wonder, do you want corn or cauliflower?
Oh, corn, I think, Alice.
Corn.
Cauliflower.
Well, there's no law against having both.
No, Alice, I meant that it's all right, whatever Mrs. Hall would like.
Darling, if you want cauliflower, that's just what we'll have.
No, dear, by all means, let's have corn.
Okay, corn.
Cauliflower.
I don't get it.
Todd, there's a gleam in your eye. What are you cooking up?
My dear girl, to hear you talk, one would think I habitually resort to animal fanning and shady practices. Let me assure you that I...
Is it Terry Ryan says you want to see him, do you?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, Alice. Vicky, do me a favor. Will you keep him busy for a minute? I have to make a phone call.
Oh, you do, huh? Well, I haven't time to put on my best eyelashes, but I'll do what I can.
Cauliflower. Hello, maintenance. Dr. Hall speaking. Let me talk to the head gardener, will you?
Hello?
Hello, Albert. Dr. Hall, can you locate Dean Stillips quickly?
Oh, Dean? Why, certainly, Doctor. I've been first planting tuberous begonias, but I can wait.
Good. I want him to be trimming the hedge in front of the medical building at, let me see, at 3:40 exactly.
Well, that hedge is looking pretty frowsy, wasn't it? It's all taken care of, though, Doctor. Had Beans trimmed it this morning.
Well, I don't care if it was trimmed this morning. Have him trim it again.
Oh, but he did a good job, Dr. Hall. Checked it myself.
I'll explain later, Albert.
Well, you'll explain to me, but how can I explain to Beans? He's sensitive about his work.
No, don't worry. I'll take care of it.
Okay, Dr. Hall. He'll be there.
At 3:40 exactly. Thanks. And, Albert, I might add, you have the grounds looking beautiful. Goodbye. Ah, Hall, you schemer, you plotter, you intrigue, you were born out of your time, you rascal, you. Talk of the Medicis, the Borgias, Machiavelli. Oh, Terry Ryan. Sorry to keep you waiting, Terry. Something came up.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hall.
Glad to see you.
Thank you, sir.
Excuse me, darling. I think Alice was a little confused just now.
Well, don't go, Victoria. I'm sure Mr. Ryan will agree that you lend a certain air of charm and distinction to any gathering.
Oh, Mr. Ryan agrees. In fact, that's just about the understatement of the week.
Thank you. Come on in and sit down.
Yes, now.
Well, Dr. Hall, I suppose you want to talk to me about Jeff Packer. Is that right, sir?
In a way, yes. I know he's spoken to you.
He certainly has, with both hands on my shoulders and looking deeply into my eyes. I must admit, he paints a very pretty picture.
Yeah, we know. He tried to sell it to us, too.
In a very rich frame.
He already has me taking my profits to the bank in an armored wheelbarrow.
As long as I've had an official invitation to this meeting, I'd like to ask a question. How do you feel about it?
Frankly, Mrs. Hall, I'm weakening. That is, if you can call it weakening, to step into a chance for $1 million and a little piece of glory.
Terry, as an intelligent man, you've undoubtedly given this choice of professions a great deal of thought. A career in the ring, with quick money, excitement, headlines, and fame, as against the long years of study and obscurity in order to establish yourself as a doctor.
That's about it. And I know what your answer would be, sir. Stay with medicine.
Yes. Yes, I have a respect amounting almost to reverence for the profession of medicine. And I must admit, I view a prize-fighting career as a gamble. Oh, in your case, the odds are with you. But I would like to think that you can do more good with your rare gift for diagnosis and your deft hand for surgery than you can with the left hook to somebody's chin, even though that makes you a champion.
Maybe this is treason, but what if you didn't win the championship? Then in a few years, you would have lost out in medicine and it'd be too late to do anything about it.
Well, is that of course? But I don't plan on staying with the fight game forever. Jeff Packard says he can get me the championship in 2 years. If I get it, I'll retire. From the ring, that is, and then right back into medicine.
Are you sure you'd come back, Terry? Oh, I admit it's possible, but I think you'll have to agree it's highly improbable that you could try your luck in the ring, make the success Jeff Packard knows you can, and then give it all up to come back and finish studying medicine.
Why, sir?
Well, because procrastination is not only the thief of time, it is the murderer of ambition. Now, I have it on good authority that you have a fighting heart. It's entirely up to you what you wanted to fight for. Do you play chess, Teddy?
Oh, a little, Dr. Hall. I'm not much on strategy, though. Anyone that can think 4 moves ahead has me beat.
Oh, and you don't think you'll meet any fighters who can think 4 moves ahead?
But the fighters don't do the thinking, Mrs. Hall. Their managers do that. And I'd have Jeff Packard. Well, he's at least 6 moves ahead of every other promoter in the business. But I see I'm keeping you from something, Dr. Hall.
No, not at all, Terry. But I have an appointment with Dr. Davis at 4 o'clock. Frankly, it's to talk about you.
I seem to be a fascinating topic these days. Is the future of one student really worth all this discussion, Dr. Hall?
I can answer that. Yes, it is. To my husband. He somehow doesn't think of the student body as a production line, you know. Assemble them, move them along, get rid of them. He seems to think they're people. Individuals. The future of every student here at Ivy is the most important thing in his life. It is his life. Now I'd like to hear the smashing of applause because I haven't made a speech in a long time. But William, no applause.
When the flag goes by, Victoria, one holds one's hat over one's heart in silence. You can't applaud with one hand. And like the passing flag, a simple truth requires just simple honor and respect.
And I take off my hat, too.
Well, I guess one kind of tribute is as good as another to me. Listen, if you're going to see Dr. Davis at 4, you better get going.
Oh, yes, I think so, too. Come on, Teddy, will you walk along with me? Hello, Beans.
Hiya, Doc. How do you like that, Albert? I clipped his head perfect this morning. Now he's got me tooting it again. He must be getting absent-minded or something.
Oh, he's just a perfectionist.
Well, I wouldn't put it past him.
Beans, this is Teddy Ryan, the intercollegiate boxing champion.
Glad to know you, Beans.
Likewise, kid. Yeah, I saw you fight a couple of months ago. Pretty good. Take my advice and you'll be a pro. Only look, kid, not so much with the left jab. It's great, but you got 2 hands. See? I'm only working here myself till I give me a good match. And when I'm champion heavy, I'll bring you along. See?
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
That's very kind of you. And now if you'll excuse us.
Just one moment, please. You're not the Beans Phillips at Fort A. Morton, oh, way back?
The same, kid. And I'm going to get a rematch, too. I know what I got to do now. And when I get him in the ring...
But Morton died 6 years ago.
He did? Well, maybe they'll get me a go with somebody else. Hey, are you a fighter, kid? You got a pretty good build. Look, meet me in the gym sometime. I'll give you some good tips.
Well, that's a good idea, but with you at the medical building. Now, take care of yourself.
I always do, Doc. That's why I like working outside. Plenty of fresh air. Keeping in shape for my rematch with Morton. See you around, kid.
Well, you bet. And Beans.
Yeah?
Next time you meet Morton, good luck.
Gee, thanks a lot. Nice kid, Doc. Bring him around again. Well, got to get back to work. Muscles stiffened up. Keep moving. Always keep moving.
In a moment, we'll return to Halls of Ivy.
And that was all, Vicky. We never did keep our appointment with Dr. Davis. It was not necessary.
Well, you still don't know what Terry's going to do, then.
Oh, yes, he's going on with medicine.
Did he say so?
Yes. You should have seen his face when he found out that he was talking to Beans Phillips, one of the great fighters of yesterday. When he realized that this man with the broken hands and the scar tissue must have had a similar decision to make at one time, well, it was quite convincing.
Hmm. It was quite a coincidence your meeting with Beans like that, wasn't it?
Yes, wasn't it?
Was?
No, it wasn't.
I thought not. You and your telephone. Congratulations, Machiavelli. A good, clean victory. Good generalship.
Well, thanks to Alice's dilemma about the vegetables. I'm glad that horticulture has lost the decision to medicine.
Horticulture?
Yes, dear. Gardening. Madison Square gardening. Cauliflower. Oh, and speaking of cauliflowers, what's for dinner tonight?
Oddly enough, we're having 2 ears of corn.
Good.
Of Ivy was presented by International Harvester, the company that serves you well on the farm, in construction, on the highway, and in the home.